On the Prather Point in the Perfection Auto Works studios, 10:30 a.m., KVOI.com on Sunday. Back with you with another hopefully exciting show. You'll be able to call in at 520-790-2040. And if you want to fund the show, you can go to gogetfunding.com. And if you are around 1046 North Beverly Avenue, stop by and see Mike Emery at Perfection Auto. He's been there for 25 years. He has over 250 solid, excellent reviews. I've been in town for 29 years. I don't have that many. Home of the free 26-point inspection. And he is a concerned, caring patriot as well. So hope you're having a good Palm Sunday. And if you didn't make it to church and you want to try my stuff, if you like my stuff, you can always go to christchaplaincy.com. And we have a 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. service that goes out, a teleconference that you can call in and you can actually talk from anywhere in the world. We've had soldiers as far as Iraq, Afghanistan, Africa, Europe. Mostly, usually it's just the United States, but that's available as well. And if you want to email me, I got a lot of texts and emails after the last show that I couldn't get everything done, and I'll try and get everything done today. You can always get me at info@warriorschool.com, info@warriorschool.com. So a lot to cover. Jump right into it. And I will say that this week, the propaganda press news media is starting to tell the news because they have to. They're not connecting the dots and they're slanting it, but they're starting to tell the news because the conventional media is dying and all we got to do is let it die, help it die. Newspapers, magazines are folding, the big networks are falling apart, just like the Democratic Party. Every week, it's becoming a spectator sport to watch them shoot themselves in the head. They just keep shooting themselves in the head. But the first thing I want to say is you should remember three Marines that were killed in action. Ben Hines, Rob Hendricks, and Chris Sletman were killed in action in Afghanistan. And please remember them and their families in your prayers. I've been to a lot of military and law enforcement intelligence funerals, been to too many. Those are real tough things. And for the families, it's just a huge chasm that opens up and they need your love and prayers for their service. And I don't know if you heard about that, because we're still there. We're still fighting this longest war, which is really not our longest war. We're going up on 20 years here, the government war on terror, GWAT. I got my little decoration for doing that. Our longest war is the tribal wars against the American Indian nations. But another important point that happened today, this past week, is the Alabama governor signed into law the heartbeat law, which is that when there's a heartbeat, you should not be having any abortions. And that law is, and you know, I've been talking about abortion and the genocide of the unborn, the worst of the genocide on several shows. And I had Alyssa Medina on and I was talking about Unplanned and I told you to go see it. And you guys are not, well, I mean, I'll take a little credit for the Tucson audience, but it's a big hit out there and it's a good movie. It's not a schmarmy Christian film. It's real well done. And it is standing up well. I talked about that last week, about the big studio blockbusters that are not doing so well. Because when you get away from the basic plot, good versus evil and everything else, then things start to fall apart. But that law in Alabama is designed directly to end up at the Supreme Court to challenge Roe. And that will not be the last of those challenges. And that's part of the reason why, again, you see the left panicking and in crisis mode and trying to pass laws like, yeah, well, even if the abortion is botched and the child's born alive, we'll just let it die. That was the whole Virginia governor thing and all these laws happening because they are in panic mode because they don't have any solid values. That doesn't mean that the right is morally superior. That just means they have base values that hopefully they will focus on and do better. You have to base yourself on something, and the left keeps shifting. The LGBTQ QT, and every week there's another initial, and some of the initials even contradict each other. And you can't continue to shift all those values. And that's why I'm saying American exceptionalism is based on our exceptional love of life and freedom. And that comes from our ethics, which come from our morals, which come from our Judeo-Christian and native values. So a couple other things that are really important this week. I'm a big sci-fi guy and astronomy guy. And, you know, if I was young enough, I'd join Space Force, but my wife would be really upset. But I watched Star Trek when it first came out, and I love Star Trek. But they got a picture of a black hole, or rather the shadow of a black hole, because there's nothing there to photograph. But in a distant galaxy, we actually confirmed a visual image of a black hole. So that is really exciting. I was riding this week, and when I'm riding, there's a astronomer who works in an observatory, and we were talking a little bit about that. And that is really cool, because that is seeing the unseeable. And we are just starting to understand our world. We know so little about our world. And, you know, scientists and agnostics and the left like to say, oh, we know everything. No, you don't. We know very little. We don't even know what matter is. We don't even know what intelligence is. We don't even know what energy is. We know the principles and properties of those things, but we don't know what they are intrinsically, because we're part of the creation. And part of the creation, as Lakota like to say, Mutakwesin, we're all related, is the creation cannot understand the creator. Just it doesn't work that way. So some other important issues. So before I get back into the main story is the borders are being overwhelmed, and the Arizona border is no different. And I will talk about that on another show. I've got other stuff, and if I get time today, which I doubt, I'll talk about that, because I worked on the border. I was in Nogales DEA for 10 years, and I worked all parts of the border, on this side, on that side, Mexico City, Guatemala, Honduras, Panama, Chile, all the way down. And at every level, from going into little Indian champas to working with heads of state there. But the cartels are really behind these caravans. These caravans don't just happen spontaneously. There's logistics. There's all kinds of things that have to happen to make those things happen. And I'm not going to get into that today, but all the corridors, the plazas are controlled by the cartels. And they're doing human trafficking, human slavery, sex slavery, child slavery. Because America and Europe are inundated. They are immersed. They are soaked in drugs. Like one-fifth or one-fourth of our population is on some kind of drugs, either illegal drugs or legal drugs. And that's not the way we are supposed to be at all. But the cartels are controlling that and pushing that. And the Dems are okay with that, because they need more voters, because they've got all these crazy ideas now. And the RINOs are okay with it, because it's cheap labor. But if you don't have any borders, then you can't have a country. It's just like having a painting. The painting has to have a frame. Otherwise, there's no limit to it. That's what makes us different. That's why people want to come here. But anyway, that's really significant and really important, and I'll get to more on that. So a lot of these families are not real families. And I said this on another radio station years ago, and I said that really the government and President Obama was pimping kids, because these kids aren't necessarily with the families. I've seen it personally. I have experienced it multiple times where they're grabbing kids, sometimes voluntarily, sometimes they're selling them, sometimes involuntarily. And to think some third world rural campesino is going to be able to find their relative in first world America someplace is, no, they're not. They're going into rape houses, rape fields. The best thing is they could be working for under wages in fields. The worst thing is unthinkable, and it is a terrible thing. And this really started under the Obama administration and continues. And this is not separating families. A lot of times, I used to go in there. I saw a Chinese kid in a lockup with adult bad guys, and I mean serious bad guys, drug dealers. There's terrorists, and there's all kinds of stuff. So, the way it is being presented, and I was And again, you can look this stuff up. It's not typically put out there in the media, but it is true. But they, a lot of these are fake families, or they don't care about their kids, and we should. Anyway, I'm already through my first segment here, but let me say a word about my new sponsor, Diamondback Shooting Sports. They are hands down Tucson's best gun store for all your shooting needs. I've trained shooters by the tens of thousands, and whenever, whatever my guys need, I send them to Diamondback Shooting Sports. They're at 7030 East Broadway. They have a full line of firearms, law enforcement, and tactical gear. I've known the owner, Doug, personally, just like I got in to see Mike recently. I got in to see Doug. They've been here for 20 years. The Arizona Daily Star voted them best Tucson gun store 4 years in a row, right up to 2018. They're open 7 days a week. Diamondback Shooting Sports, 7030 East Broadway at 886-8338. And so we'll be right back after this break with the Prather Point. Jeff Prather, back with you on the Prather Point in the Perfection Auto Works studios. Call in at 520-790-2040 and stop by Diamondback as well as Perfection Auto Works. They've been in business for 20 years. They also do training at dbacktraining.com. And you'll see a lot of law enforcement and military in there at the same time. And speaking of that, so this past week, President Trump designated the Iranian Revolutionary Guard as a terrorist organization. And that is very significant. If you remember way, way back, Iran, and they've even made famous movies about this. It's so funny now because the commentator's saying, oh, they're worried about the fact that we're going to upset Iran. So any of us who have served in GWAT know that Iran has sent lots of special forces into Iraq to ambush and kill our guys. If you're old enough to remember, Iran took our embassy guys hostage. A famous movie was made about that. That was Iran. Then under Obama, they grabbed a bunch of our sailors as well. So, and then, of course, President Obama, besides running guns in Fast and Furious, besides running drugs in Fast and Furious, besides having the first ambassador murdered and an embassy attacked in like 40 years, and that is an act of war, and then covered it up, President Obama was also running billions of dollars in cash in unmarked airplanes to the Iranian regime so that they could then use that money to kill us. So what's going to happen now is there's a lot of sanctions in place, and they are not going to be able to get away with that. And now they got to choose between fundamentals and killing us, and that's a good thing. And it's just hilarious to me that officials are saying, well, that could be dangerous. They might not lock us. They might start acting like terrorists. Everybody knows Iran is the biggest state sponsor of terrorism out there, period. And so it's really good that Netanyahu got reelected and that President Trump has called them the Revolutionary Guard, rather, which is an organization. It's the first time an organization inside a country has been designated that, but that's fine, and we're not sending them any money. But anyway, I do have a caller, and I want to get to the caller. So, Paul, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
All right, thank you. Yeah, there's a couple of things I don't understand. This party that we have, that political party that seems to hate the United States has formed. I don't understand what their long-term objective is, and what is CBS News and these other news outlets going to do when the foreigners take over this country and there's no more free press? Don't they understand? And tell me what would happen if these people flooding across the border had shirts on identifying themselves as Republicans and Trump supporters?
that's a good question. And of course, they would be deported. And, you know, I've seen a lot of these guys, OTMs, other than Mexicans, they're called, because, you know, Mexico, we share the border with, and they wear U.S. shirts. And they are trying to infiltrate. And most of the caravans are military age young men. And it's going to be the same thing. And I'm not trying to say Trump is perfect. He's not. He's no saint. And I'm not trying to say Republicans are perfect. But look at the worst cities in America. The worst cities in America, where there's the biggest gun violence, the most poverty, those are run by Democratic machines for 20, 30, 40 years. Look at public schools. If you want to know how big government works, go to an Indian reservation. If you want to know how good the government is about keeping treaties, ask any Indian tribe about that. So it's a disaster. The bigger the government, the worse it is. That's why our founders, you know, had a tripartite system of government, and we're supposed to be a democratic republic. We're not a democracy. I'm so tired of hearing politicians say that all the time. They don't even know. They'll say we got two parts of government and we're a democracy. We're not. We're supposed to be a democratic republic. Now, I say our republic has fallen, but I have my reasons for saying that. And we are supposed to be a Trinitarian system of government. Trinitarian shows up everywhere in child, mother, father, father, son, Holy Spirit, Buddha, Sangha, Dharma, whatever you want to say, three dimensions. That's always the pyramidal microcosm of society. But anyway, I appreciate the call. So I ended the show and last week, and I just had so much to put out, I didn't have a lot of time to put it out. But we were talking about, we did a deep dive into the Mueller report and what was going on with Barr, and we're going to go back there because it's so important, because this is a soft coup by the intelligence community, and I know what I'm talking about. I was part of the intelligence community and the Department of Justice. I know what I'm talking about. I was part of the Department of Justice. And we need to be aware of this. And the media is downplaying this, and the politicians are downplaying this. But remember, Mueller is saying that Trump, when Trump was making a speech, he said, "Hey, Russia, I hope you can find those 33,000 emails that Hillary deleted." And they took that as him communicating with the Russians, and regular communication as with the Russians. But let's listen to this little clip of President Obama on a hot mic when he thought he was not being recorded anymore. And he's meeting with Putin's guy.
My last election, please. Yeah. And after my election, I have more flexibility. Yeah. And this, I transmit this information to Vladimir and Mr.
So tell Vladimir, he's calling him by his first name, he leans over, puts his arm on him, they put their arms on each other, that this is my last election, I'll have more flexibility afterwards, and pass that on. And his guy, I forget his name, something with him, says, I understand, I will transmit that. So, gosh, that sounds like kind of a covert correspondence to me. Why isn't that being investigated? And last week I've said things over the years. I've said the DOJ has now become the KGB, and it has. And the process has become the punishment. And I know there's no KGB anymore. It's FBG or something like that. Essentially the same thing. Eyes inward spying on us as opposed to eyes outward. But this is very crucial, because what I was ending with last week is where I want to pick up now, is that the DOJ sucked in the intelligence community into a false flag disinformation campaign to collude with the Russians. Now, let me explain what that is. So I've run informants. I've run informants in the DEA. I've run informants in the DIA. And informants are cagey, smart guys. And you got to know how to handle them. They're very worldly guys. And every once in a while, you'll see an informant, now they call them CSs, confidential sources, start playing the handler. And you've got to make sure they don't play you. So I think that the FBI was played, and so was the intelligence community, because they weren't competent. And I was telling somebody recently, Comey was never an FBI special agent. I graduated from the FBI Academy in 1990. Comey was never a special agent. He was an attorney. That's why he says all these stupid things and does all these stupid things. Brennan was a communist. And Brennan's now saying, you know, the head of the CIA, I might have had bad information. And Clapper, another intel guy, another brilliant intel guy. I don't call it spying. I call it surveillance without them knowing. My head's going to explode, okay? It's the FISA, the fake FISA documents, Foreign Intelligence Spies Surveillance Act Court. That's spying. But you can call it surveillance if you want, but it's the same thing. So what's going on with that is I think that the Dems could not wait to get somebody that they could get on Trump. Remember, Obama said, I can tell you there's not a scintilla of corruption at the IRS before there's an investigation. Remember Holder saying, there's no gun running, okay, because they make reality fit the script. And if a reality doesn't fit the script, then they make this, then they change reality to fit the script. So they were sure that they win re-election. Remember, I love to listen to these guys talk about polls now because I'm like, you think we're listening to your polls? Because remember all the polls? Oh, Hillary, Trump can't win. Remember all the polls, the pundits, all the experts? They're all wrong. Every time somebody pulls up a poll, I just laugh because it's the way you ask the question that you control it. But early on in Operation Crossfire Hurricane, that was the operation, there was an informant that contacted George Papadopoulos and Carter Page and Michael Flynn, and he posed as an academic. And we know who this is now, but he was asking Papadopoulos in an email if he was interested in writing a research paper on a disputed gas field in the Mediterranean Sea, which is an area of expertise. He was offered $3,000 to a trip to London. Oh, who else was in London? Christopher Steele. So all the media doesn't connect these dots. So I'm going to connect these dots for you because I was an investigator and I was an intelligence officer. And during these multiple conversations, the informant pressed Papadopoulos on information about Russian efforts to sway the election. And by that point, Clinton's hacked emails had become public. But Papadopoulos denied any knowledge of this. So remember, Barr comes out and says, yeah, the Russians approached the Trump team and they were rebuffed. And remember that Barr said last week, he's paused when he was in front of the Senate. He goes, yeah, I think spying did occur. And they're all freaking. They are all scared to death because they know what they did and they know a lot of it was illegal. And what I think is that the Russians that approached were informants for the FBI and the CIA. There may have been others too, but I think we're talking about Spader here. That's how I think everybody in the media with all these leaks says, yeah, there's got to be corruption. There's got to be corruption because we set it up. But it's unraveling as socialist, collectivist, communist schemes always do. Anyway, get back into this deep dive right after this break. This is Jeff Prather on the Prather Point, right back with you. Jeff Prather, back with you. John, can you play that one more time?
This is my last election. Basically.
Yeah,
after my election, I have more flexibility. Yeah.
I understand. I transmit this information to Vladimir and understand.
That's President Obama leaning over on a hot mic to Putin's guy, saying, tell him that I'll have more flexibility. Now, that's been interpreted in a certain way by the press, but we don't know what they're talking about. But it certainly is an intimate conversation. And then the vice president, I think it was, is saying, yes, I will transmit this. I will transmit this information. Certainly sounds suspicious to me, but no investigation there. So getting back into this, this CI, this supposed academic, also met Sam Clovis, then Trump's co-campaign manager for coffee in Northern Virginia in late summer 2016. I used to live in Old Town when I was working for the DIA, and a lot of guys do all their practice there for all the intel agencies, and I'd drive around with my wife, who's probably listening, and I'd say, see that guy talking into his sleeve? They're all trained in there. We train all over the place there, but nice place. I lived right across from the George Washington Masonic Tower. George Washington was a big-time Mason. But anyway, Clovis told the Post, the New York Post, in 2016, Russia never came up in the conversation. So this is what Barr saying is, Trump team keeps rebuffing the Russians. And this is how the liberal media, the propaganda press, and the left can be so certain that there was collusion because they set it up. It just didn't work out for them. They got a script. This is just like when Hillary said, hey, it's American guns are the problem with Mexican gun violence. That was my intro into all this. If it's not so, we'll run guns to make it so. So Page had met with Stephen Halper. He's the foreign policy scholar, probably the informant. Worked in Nixon, Carter, and Reagan administrations, played a major role in CIA spying operation in 1980. And on all these meetings, he is the common denominator. So remember when Barr says the Trump team rebuffed all of these Russian advances. And remember I said, the Dems are going to be sorry they want everything released, because a lot of this is going to get released. A lot of stuff has already been declassified, and there's timing waiting for this to be released. But it's going to go someplace, and it's going to go right back to them, and they're going to shoot themselves in the head yet again. So remember this week, and everybody's seen it, and I'm just covering ground, where they got Barr in front of Congress. And there's a desperate Democratic senator, I don't forget his name, who goes, well, when you sent us this letter that kind of just dismisses the 400-page Mueller report, and 200, did you ask Mueller to help you write the letter to us? And Barr goes, no, I didn't. And the Democrats go, well, why didn't you ask him? And Barr goes, because it's my letter. And so this guy, we now have, we don't have Holder, who is perjuring himself. We don't have Lynch, who is perjuring herself. We actually have we don't have Sessions, who goes before Congress and the Senate, goes, colleagues, because he was one of them. He was another good old boy. We actually have a real attorney general. He's not with clean hands either. I've talked about Ruby Ridge and stuff about him, but he goes, yeah, I think spying occurred. And everybody's jaw is dropping because they know spying occurred. And the question becomes, and then they scared him even more. He goes, the question is whether how it was predicated, that is, whether it was legal or not, whether it fell into the under the Operation Crossfire hurricane or not. And it looks like a lot of it didn't. And it looks like they violated the FISA court. It looks like there's a lot of guys who are being referred for criminal prosecution. So what's really interesting is all of a sudden, after 6-7 years, all of a sudden Assange is being dragged out of an embassy. An Ecuadorian embassy in England for extradition. Now, this story is very, very familiar. So what he's being accused of is helping the transsexual. He's now dressed like a female. He was in the military. I forget his name. And he went to jail of helping him hack. Now, whether that stands up or not, we don't know. But he did publish what that guy leaked on CipriNet, which CipriNet is a secret internet service. I used to use it. It's not that highly classified. But the question is, under Nixon, all that stuff was leaked and published, and those guys were heroes. How come this is so different? And again, it's different because the Dems are total hypocrites about all this stuff. And that's why they're trying to throw in the charge of he helped, which means he made, and all as far as I know, all he made was suggestions. Now, when he first came out, I said, yeah, this is a spy. But that's before I knew that the government was spying on us. And by the way, you know, you can look it up. You know, Brennan admitted he was spying on Congress. They have been leaking bits of conversation, Flynn conversation, all that stuff is happening. There's no doubt about that. This has been happening. So Barr says, yeah, I think spying occurred. And the Dems are freaking out. So there's a guy on Fox all the time, and I can't think, I always forget his name, but he worked for the same colonel at DIA at the same time. He was in Afghanistan. I was in DC. I had the easy gig. But he wrote a book called Dark Heart, How They Found Bin Laden, and they destroyed him. When I went to DOJ and DEA and said, hey, you're destroying my career, or you're destroying my extradition of the First and Second Cartel leader, which is who they were running guns to, and who was being allowed under Fast and Furious to run drugs north, they went after me the same way they went after him, the same way, it's Palm Sunday, the same way they went after Jesus, the same way they went after Martin Luther King, same way they went after Gandhi, the same way they went after Abraham Lincoln. The list goes on and on. Because when you find power, the government responds with force. So, the FBI informant was compromised because Stroke was having an affair. So as the counterintelligence guy, if he's having an affair, he's compromised. So I don't know, maybe he was under duress by the Russians at this point. It would not surprise me at all. We're seeing all these connections. And the FBI, when they found somebody on Feinstein, Senator Feinstein's staff, that was a spy, she fired him. So the FBI went to Senator Feinstein, hey, you got a spy on your staff, which is not uncommon if you see the Congress. Oh my gosh, I can't think of that congressman's name who goes, if we got too many sailors on the island, will the island of Guam tip over? You remember that one? These guys are not geniuses, okay? But the FBI went to her and she fired him. The FBI did not go to Trump. Okay, that's different treatment under the law. So, with me and Trump, we both had fake investigations, and then they had an investigation of an investigation. And I had one too. I had an EO complaint against Holder, against my religious beliefs. The DA hired somebody, and he investigated, and guess what he found out? Because who is he working for? DA was paying him. So what did he find out? Hey, everything's fine. And so the same thing is happening with Mueller. And I'm saying Mueller doesn't have clean hands, but we're going to see something real interesting. Mueller's now worried too, because Mueller has been with the Clintons forever. The Clintons are getting heckled at their speeches now. Why? Because they're no use to anyone anymore, and they're still trying to raise money. So when it all falls apart, Susan Rice, remember Susan Benghazi is a video, it's because of a video, Rice, telling everybody that our ambassador is murdered and raped, our embassy is attacked, nothing is done, the FBI don't go and remember Susan Rice. Susan Rice at 12:15 p.m. on January 20, 2017, as she's going out the door, she writes herself and emails herself a memo, which is kind of weird. Right? And the memo says, on January 5th, following a briefing by the intelligence community leadership on Russian hacking during the 2016 presidential election, President Obama had a brief follow-on conversation with FBI Director Jim Comey and Deputy Attorney General Sally Yates in the Oval Office. Vice President and I were also present. President Obama began the conversation by stressing his continued commitment to ensuring that every aspect of this issue is handled by the intelligence and law enforcement communities by the book. Why is she writing herself a memo like that? The president stressed that he is not asking about, initiating, or instructing anything from a law enforcement perspective. He reiterated that our law enforcement team needs to proceed as it normally would, and she says it again, by the book. This is what we call CYA, folks. This is cover your butt. She's sending this so that later on she can be exonerated when everything falls apart. And she's writing it about Obama. Who's telling her to write this? Who's she work for? Obama. And this ties into what I'm going to talk about next after this break, which is this stuff has been out. But what I'm going to talk about next, it's out, but no one's putting the pieces together. But anyway, I will be right back after this break. This is Jeff Prather on the Prather Point in the Perfection Auto Works Studios. Right back with you. Jeff Prather on the Prather Point. 10:30 a.m. KVOI.com. Perfection Auto Works Studios. Diamondback is my go-to gun store where Doug and his crew have been serving the needs of the community for 20 years. They're open 7 days a week and offer law enforcement and military discounts for both active and retired like me. Diamondback is a leading retailer of silencers and other Class 3 products, and even have fingerprinting services and an always open e-commerce store. With one of Tucson's most experienced and knowledgeable instructors, Diamondback offers a variety of firearms training classes from basic to advanced. Diamondback Shooting Sports at 7030 East Broadway, 886-8338 for all your shooting needs. So, I know I'm deep in the weeds and I know I'll get to some calls here in a bit, but I want to make sure I get this out. This is really important. So, last week, again, I said the Dems will rue the day when they want everything released of the Mueller report. And I also said that grand jury 6E material is not going to be released. That is, anybody who wasn't indicted, that material is not going to be released. That means Trump. Nothing's coming out on Trump, but they're not smart enough to know that. But other stuff's going to come out, and they are not going to like it. And I was even more right than I thought, because this week, Gregory Craig was indicted from the Mueller investigation. Who's Gregory Craig? Well, he was President Obama's first White House counsel. And now the Dems are really scared. Because, as I say, Obama had no experience. I think he was elected because we're trying to get past our sins of racism. So he was half black, half white, former Muslim, now Christian. He should have been a great uniter. He was not. But this indictment of Greg Craig is not Trump's guy. It is Obama's guy. And that is scaring these guys to death. And this case involves the Foreign Agent Registration Act, which in 1938 was never used until Mueller started using it on all these people. But now Mueller's scared too. And so Mueller is now indicting somebody the other side so he can sound fair, just like Rice's cover your butt memo is about. So Manafort, Trump's former campaign chairman, is headed off to prison for violating FARA, Federal Foreign Agent Registration Act. And Craig, one of Washington's most respected lawyers, is accused of lying to the Justice Department, process crime, rather than admit a Ukrainian billionaire paid his firm millions of dollars for work on behalf of the government of Ukraine. The indictment notes that the 74-year-old Craig did not want to register as a foreign agent. This is Flynn, too, at least in part because he believed doing so could prevent him and others at the law firm from taking positions in the federal government in the future. So he also worked for Bernie Sanders' campaign. And remember, I talked last week that there has already been a conviction in Ukraine for a Ukrainian supporting Hillary's campaign. Real collusion. This thing is blowing up in the Dems' faces, and they are panicking. And this is exactly what I said would happen. Craig's also, clients include CIA Director Richard Helms, Senator Ted Kennedy, another great guy, Nobel laureate Alexander Soltz Nixon, just a lot of names. Everybody in Washington, in corrupt rhinos and Democrats, are scared to death because Barr signals his intention. Yeah, I'm going to look into this spying stuff. And now Mueller has signals his intentions. Yeah, I'm going to have to be more fair to survive this myself. And they are scared to death. And that's good news for us. And the calls are piling up. That's when I wanted to make sure. You probably heard of that this week, but you, John, did you hear that this week? Did you hear about that indictment? But I don't know if you guys put that together, what that really means, because all these are backdoor, behind the scenes meetings occurring. Anyway, Mike Emery is on the phone. Hi, Mike.
Thank you for taking my call, as always. You're spot on. You're always down to the bone with this stuff, and that's one of the reasons why I want to sponsor your program, because, I mean, you tell it like it is. So I've got a couple of questions, if you don't mind, sir.
Sure, go ahead.
How thick is the socialist threat to our government? And I'll follow that up with a couple of other little questions, but you can kind of like put them all together to make your stew. You've been around the government for a long time, and you've seen a lot of stuff. I know socialism is a threat in today's society with AOC and all the other stuff that's going on in the way that the government is stacking up these days. But my question, seriously, is How thick is it? And why is Hillary not on a stake, a burning stake?
So thanks for the call and thanks for listening. And that's why you should go see Mike, because he really cares. So democratic socialism has become in style in our government. But the Dems, the Democratic Party of John F. Kennedy, you know, PT 109, war veteran, gave the Green Berets their Green Beret. That anniversary just happened. There was a big ceremony down at Bragg for that. Turned the UDTs into the SEALs. That Democratic Party is gone. And the modern Democratic Party has become the party of communists and socialists. And it was working okay because communists and socialists are really good at taking real causes and twisting them to their ends. But it always falls apart. I got one word for you, Venezuela. And so we got immigrants, illegals coming up from Venezuela, and I worked in Venezuela. So Hillary had power because she bought everybody off and she had everybody corrupted around her. If you want to know how that goes, watch House of Cards. It's basically Bill and Hillary. But remember who else is indicted. I mean, that's got to really scare them because Spacey, who plays Bill on the show, is under indictment. These guys are scared to death of this. But anyway, that is all changing because the rhinos like losing and they get their pensions, they get everything. But that may very well change because there's going to be a tie-in between Hillary's secret server in her basement that was transmitting classified information to all of this. That's really espionage, folks. And everybody in the field knows it. Anyway, got another call. Mark, you're on the line. Go ahead.
Yeah, a couple questions for you. Besides, I would rather not see Hillary up on the burning stake. I'd rather see her staked out of an anthill for 30 days. But anyway, the guy that you were trying to think of, his name is Henry or Hank Johnson out of Georgia, who was questioning whether if there are too many military people on Guam, it would tip over. The other...
Oh, yeah, that guy, that brilliant guy, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the Admiral kept a straight face as he answered the question, which was amazing. I mean, but I can imagine the conversation afterwards. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, so what about Bill Barr, possibility of him getting Seth Riched by the desperate Democrats? Is it too late for them to gain anything by doing something like that to Bill Barr? Or is he safe? Or what's up with Bill Barr?
No, it's not too late. But Bill Barr, as now the chief law enforcement officer of the United States of America, is surrounded by federal agents, 1811s, like I used to be, Secret Service guys. He's got his own detail that goes everywhere with him. And he's going to be hard to touch now. You can watch House of Cards. You can watch the Clintons corrupt the Secret Service guy next to him. You know, it's like with the President Kennedy's assassination. The CIA comes in, takes the bullets at the autopsy, and then puts in shell casings on the X-rays. It's really terribly done. It's really stupidly done. If you want to go into conspiracy theories, and I'm not really a conspiracy theory show. I've been on conspiracy theory shows. But that's what's going on there. So he's hard to get to now. Plus, you may not know this, but at the end there with Holder and Lynch, Holder would go to something, some event, some law enforcement event. There's all kinds of law enforcement. And nobody would applaud. Only the staff would be applauding. Just like with Obama going out to see the troops. Only the staff was applauding because he was hanging them out to dry. Obama and Holder and Lynch eventually hung out the military, law enforcement, think Ferguson, and the intelligence community all out to dry. That's why people would say, hey, is he going to commit is he going to take martial law? I'm like, well, maybe, but who's going to enforce it for him?
Mm-hmm.
Because also, there's, and plus, every time he does a tactical operation, what's it turn out then? It turns into a fiasco. Again, Fast and Furious, Benghazi, Syria. They're disasters. Why? Because he never talked to the professionals, the generals, and he always talked to Jarrett and the other two ladies that hung out with him, and they're like, yeah, this is a great idea. What was your other question?
And yeah, the other, who paid for the trips to England for you know, the Trump team members? I forgot his name. The guy who went to jail for like 2 weeks. How did he get there? Who paid for his trip? Was it this setup.
Papadopoulos, you're talking about?
Yeah, Papadopoulos. Yeah.
Oh yeah, the informant was going to pay for the trip. Yeah, right. And so there's records. And so when I would pay an informant, I had to have him sign off. That's a good point. Okay, now a lot of stuff gets classified and everything and redacted, and a lot of people are asking for stuff, but, you know, who knows? Maybe we paid for it. Maybe it was our tax dollars paying for it. But again, how can you answer questions like, we know there's collusion? You hear this from Schmidt. You hear this from all these guys, just like we heard from Obama. There's not a scintilla of corruption at the IRS, which we know is not true, before you do an investigation. Well, because you've already written the script and it's going to be carried out by your guys. But yeah, that's just one of the many loose ends. So like I said, I've done some covert operations. You know, my entry into this was with Central American Resistance Forces back in the 80s. I was on the border of Honduras and Nicaragua, and then I joined the DEA, right as the Contras and the cocaine and all that stuff is happening. What's the Marine guy? Everybody loves him now. But anyway, you don't usually do them because there's too much risk of them blowing up. And so usually you don't do them. But all these geniuses think, yeah, let's just go ahead and do it. It's all starting to blow up. And that is good news for our republic. This is Jeff Prather on the Prather Point. Back with you next week. God bless.